Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, March 12th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, here we go. It's all aboard. We have three experts in the studio to talk about trains today and model train collecting. Together, Jeff Stedge, Doug Bafaro, and John Basile have over 212 years experience buying and selling model trains. Maybe not that much. The Albany Train Show is happening Saturday at the Polish Community Center in Albany, so we'll rev it up for the event, and we'll welcome back these guys to take your questions about model trains and real trains of yesterday and today. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email your questions to voxpop@wamc.org. Trains, your calls coming up right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. The Albany Train Show is happening Saturday, March 15th. That's this Saturday at the Polish Community Center in Albany. Today we talk trains with our buddies Jeff Stedge, Doug Bafaro, and John Basile. I'll tell you what, whether you have a question about model trains or the real thing from the old days, give us a call. Jeff Stedge is an avid collector of Lionel and other O-gauge trains, especially American and German trains from the early 20th century. He's also well-versed in local railroad history, particularly the New York Central Line. Doug Bafaro also collects Lionel and other O-gauge trains. He has 30 years collecting and model railroad experience. His knowledge of local railroad history focuses on the Delaware and Hudson lines, as well as the New York Central. And John Basile has more than 50 years of collecting experience. He specializes in standard and wide-gauge trains from the early 20th century, also well-versed in the early short line railroads in the Capital District and the Adirondacks. If you have a train question, whether it be a model train or a real train, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is our number. 1-800-348-2551. Email us if you wish, voxpop@wamc.org. Doug, you weren't here last time, so I'll say hello to you first. Hello. How are you doing?
Ray, I'm doing great. Glad to be back.
Great to have you back on the show. You excited for the big event on Saturday?
Always am.
Good. Good. And we'll talk quite a bit about that coming up. Jeff Stedge, what's happening, man?
Yes, sir. Well, I don't want to derail things.
Already with the humor.
We're going to try to stay on track, but I would be remiss if I did not mention there is a group out in New Lebanon that is in the process of trying to rebuild a station that exists out there, a depot, a train depot.
So cool. Tell me more.
So,
Should we introduce John first?
Let's introduce John first.
John Basile, you've been very quiet thus far, and I appreciate that very much, but now it's time to speak. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well.
Yeah?
I'm just happy that I can still play with my trains and run them and collect them.
And you guys, as always, have brought some really cool stuff. But first, Jeff, tell me about this project.
So these guys have taken it upon themselves to there's a group, I think it's called Friends of the New Lebanon Train Depot. They are in the process of trying to save and hopefully resurrect and refurbish an existing depot that is out in New Lebanon, which New Lebanon was sort of the crossroads for a number of different short line railroads as well as D&H, which was obviously a large railroad. And it is a project that I commend them for. It's a tough uphill ride, but they're doing it.
Okay, what was left of the original?
Well, I'll tell you.
Yeah, not a pile of bricks.
Well, there's a lot of wood.
Yeah.
It's sort of in a pile, but they're trying to take the pile and convert it over to something other than a pile.
Okay, and are they accessing historical data so that they can be period perfect on this?
Yes, they're definitely trying to make it into a period perfect. And of course, they're seeking out a grant as well. They're trying to get it. So, under those terms, obviously, it would have to have historical. It would have to adhere to historical details and historical accuracy. So,
you know, are there tracks there still?
I'm going to say no. I don't know the answer to that question.
I must say this, and I hope the listeners are not upset. But every time I go by the Albany County Rail Trail, I feel bad because I miss the clickety-clack of the trains.
Sure.
And okay, it's a noble thing. People can take walks and whatnot, but I'll tell you, man, you ripped up a lot of track that maybe you could fix up for less than putting in a new track.
Yeah, and there's so many different, especially in this area, you know, with the Adirondacks and the Capital District in particular, you know, in many ways, this is where railroading didn't necessarily get its start. It got its start down in Baltimore. But, you know, up here with the D&H, you know, that was 1831,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have a tremendous amount of history with all these short line railroads that in the Adirondacks were used for mining, used for logging, gone. And some of the tracks don't exist anymore. So,
yeah. The Albany Train Show is happening on Saturday at the Polish Community Center. We're joined by John Basile, Doug Pafaro, and Jeff Stedge. And we talk trains every 6 months or so on this show just because I like it. Doug, what's in front of you? It's a big hunk of metal.
Actually, this is what they refer to as a hill climber. It has a friction motor in it. And essentially, the reason I brought it is to give you an idea how far back the influence of trains in both the full size and in the toys. So this was made by a company called Daco, and this is basically a fully mechanical. And because of the date, this was manufactured in 1897.
Wow, a toy train from 1897.
Yes,
and that's no insubstantial piece of metal right there. That's a
no. And the wonderful thing about it is it has this friction motor in this design, and everything is still there, and it is actually fully functional.
Just don't make. I love those old friction cars that we used to race up and down the street. Great concept. So you ever actually played with this thing?
Of course.
Really? Well, let's not do it here in Studio A. We're liable to bust a window.
And it is a family show, after all.
Exactly. Jeff Stedge, what's in front of you?
Okay, so we have a couple of different things here, and I know somewhere there's a camera.
No, it's gone.
Oh, the camera's all gone.
Yeah,
so you're going to have to rely on my verbal skills here to get through this.
Is this going to take long? Because I'll just take a little nap.
Bring the popcorn around.
All right, man.
Sit down and bring popcorn. Okay, so what we have here is this is what's known as a live steam locomotive. And what a live steam locomotive is that, you know, Doug was just mentioning that the gizmo that he has friction wheels.
Yeah.
So it's almost the self-contained unit where you run it along the floor. The friction itself, it builds up and then it releases.
Sure.
And that's what allows it to go. Back in the day when you had model railroading to start with, you had clockwork, which is similar to winding a clock. There was a spring in there, and that would let the mechanism run. In the not-too-distant, once they started to do that and electricity became available, the next logical progression was to have electricity running model trains.
Yeah.
At the same time, they also had what was known as live steam. And yes, you guessed it.
No
way. This is live steam. So what you would do is you would have a fluid accelerant, I guess. Is
like alcohol.
Alcohol. And you would pour alcohol into this, and then there was a burner underneath.
Oh, come
on. Actually light it. And it functioned very similarly.
Good Lord.
Very similarly.
I'm so glad Ralph Nader wasn't around at that time. There would have been a couple of problems.
This would, and exactly, unsafe at any speed.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
So, and interestingly enough, these were great toys. They ran great. However, as you mentioned, there's always that danger of burning down the house.
Yeah, there's that.
So, but this was a great thing. And actually, in Great Britain, live steam to this day is a big thing.
Really?
Yeah, because up until the 1960s, a lot of Great Britain was not electrified. And certainly because of the war and having to rebuild the infrastructure, there were a lot of rural areas that did not have electrification. And for that reason, live steam was a great alternative to electricity.
Very cool.
And hand in hand with that, we actually have what's known as a stationary engine, and this is also live steam. And this live steam, what would it have done is that you would have actually had a little toy over here that would have duplicated a workshop, and there would have been a guy hammering, there would have been a guy sawing, there would have been a guy drilling, and you would attach a belt to this,
yeah,
and then belts to that in pulleys the same way as it existed in a real shop.
Hmm.
So back in the day when you did not have electricity, everything was run by steam.
So this is just a toy, a beautiful. How old is this?
This is actually, believe it or not, this is going to probably be about 1920s.
Okay.
This is mid-1920s. This would have gone back a little earlier. This could have been about 1905.
And this was basically, there are no wheels on this. This is...
Well, you get your, you know, pulley wheels here, but
right,
that
but
was...
Right, but this is for making stuff.
Right, this would have been for making stuff. This would have actually been the driving force to a small workshop. So the pulleys would have attached here. There would have been a series of pulleys...
Housers.
In the workshop, yeah. And then the workshop, those guys would have been feverishly working on different tasks.
Amazing. Now, the wheels on this one...
Go round and round. Dude, yes,
the wheels go round and round. Doug, those aren't standard, right? These are not made... That's not made to go on a track.
No, there was no track on these. These just ran on what they call carpet runners.
Okay. And what about the gauge on this one, Jeff?
This would have been O-gauge, which is interesting because if we all know our Lion-L trains, our O-gauge Lion-L, this would run on the same width track.
Amazing. Amazing. Yep. All right, very quickly, John Basile, we got to take a break here, and then we got to hit the phones. What have you, sir?
Well, after live steam came around, there was a company called Carlisle & Finch. Carlisle & Finch was the first American company to produce electric trains routinely. I mean, and so they started in 1895.
Oh, be darned.
What I brought is a trolley version that they made between 1904 and 1907. So that's what the date for this little trolley here is. It's four wheels. It's electric. It goes on two rails, two-inch gauge.
So two-inch gauge is what, by letter?
2 inches. It's called two-inch gauge.
Ah, so that's not a thing anymore.
It's a little bit smaller than standard gauge, which we've talked about before.
Gotcha.
Which was 2 1/8 inches between the rails.
You know, we can't do prices in public radio, but that ain't cheap. I mean, this is the sort of thing that collectors go for, I take it. There's a tag on this thing.
Well, this tag, I've had this for 35 years.
So it's worth more than that now.
I don't know what... No, that tells you what it is.
Oh, gosh.
That doesn't tell you what I paid for.
It's like, good luck getting out of here with that thing, you know? All right, let's take a break. 800-348-2551. Doug Bafaro, John Basile, Jeff Stedge are here. You can email voxpop@wamc.org. You can phone us, 800-348-2551. Little Sonny Rollins, we'll be back. Sonny Rollins, Paradox here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is our number. The Model Train Show, the Albany Train Show, happens Saturday at the Polish Community Center in Albany. And we have our favorite train, the only train people I know, really, Jeff Stedge, Doug Bafaro, and John Basile. And they are here to talk trains with you. The number is 800-348-2551. And let's grab a call before we hit the email bag. Jack is in Worthington. Jack, you're on.
Yeah, hi, guys. This isn't exactly about model trains.
It's okay.
But I was just curious. When I was in university in the 60s, I used to take the train from Philadelphia to Miami. And I was just curious, talking to my wife the other day, who doesn't want to fly anymore, and I said, what's the possibility of taking a train from, we're in New England now, and to Miami?
Oh, possibilities are great.
Or actually, probably the West Coast. Over to Tampa area or something like that.
Okay.
And also, the second question is, we have a small dog. Can you take your pet with you?
What they do is they strap the dogs to the top
no,
of the
train. No, they don't.
They put them up in the luggage rack like Reagan did.
Exactly.
No, I think that was Romney. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, you're right. It was Romney.
All right.
Yeah.
So what do you think, fellas?
Well, what I would note is, the train is a great alternative to flying. Exactly. Now that we're seeing plane accidents almost every 2 days, I don't ever remember it being at that level. Not only that, you have the option, and I know Amtrak makes it available, where you can bring your car. They'll actually put your car on the train And you can have that, this way you're not left without a way of getting around when you get down to your destination. And I do believe, and you'd have to check.
You've got to go to Virginia. I understand. You can pick up the car train in Virginia.
Yeah, correct. That's right.
I mean, but these are people who don't know that there aren't such things as rental cars. But anyway, go ahead.
So, in the long run, I think the rental would be cheaper. As far as the dog, you would have to call the railroad to find out if it's available.
Okay.
By the way, I took that trip from Albany to Miami.
Oh, yeah?
About probably 8 or 10 years ago. I don't remember when. So, my wife and I did that rather than fly.
Isn't it fun? It's great.
Loved it.
Now, to be fair, Doug cast aspersions upon the airline industry, and I think that maybe you overstated it. I think that planes are very safe to this day, and it's okay, Jack, but the trains are fun.
It wasn't about that. It's just that she's getting to be an older dog, and we used to tranquilize her when we put her on the plane.
Oh boy.
She went under the seat.
Now, but this is not your wife, right?
Yeah, it's my wife.
Oh, no, cut it out now. All right.
We don't want to tranquilize her this time. So, the alternative was she would fly and I would drive and take the dog. But I thought the train would be great fun, but I don't know if there's a train convenient to getting into Florida or over to the West Coast, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's doable. You can get down there. And actually, interestingly enough, in Florida, they have I think it's called Brightline. They have built some high-speed rail down in Florida, and I think it goes from Miami to Orlando. And I believe that they're extending it up to Atlanta as well.
All right, Jack, thanks for the call. I don't know if I should admit this, but I was watching the Three Stooges Saturday night, and Shemp and Moe and Larry were on a train, and there was mayhem as usual. But the sleeper car, now I've only been in a sleeper car once when my folks took us out to state of Washington. We went from Chicago to Washington and slept in nice cars. But in this train, it was berths. There was beds, and then there were just curtains. Is that still a thing on sleeper cars?
Look at the date. It's when you're
1953-ish. Okay. The Shemp years, right? 55?
The Shemp years.
Yeah. Shemp years.
The Shemp years. So we can get into that a little bit later. They just recently had a Hudson River excursion.
Yeah.
Where they took some iconic cars from what would have been the 20th Century Limited.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran them between Albany and New York, actually, between Rensselaer and New York. I had an opportunity to get on that, and they did have a Pullman car with the sleeper bunks in it.
And just with curtains, though.
It's with
not,
curtains,
not
yeah.
great privacy. I mean, Shemp pulled the whole thing down.
They've upgraded since then.
Okay.
Yeah. You get an actual door in it.
Yeah. When we went in the 70s, we had a nice little two rooms.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. Yeah. One of the best memories of my youth. Let's go to East Chatham. Peter, you're on with Jeff Stedge, Doug Bafaro, and John Basile.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I inherited from my great aunt. I inherited from my grandfather, my great aunt's sister, a Beggs Live steam locomotive. And there's a picture. I mentioned my great aunt because there's a picture of her in a stroller. She was born in 1893, and she's still in a stroller. Probably so, 1896 at least. And this is a big steam locomotive. I have never fired it up. It's, as you were talking about, it's alcohol fired, four little wicks under the boiler. There's a little clear glass end on the locomotive so you can make sure there's water in the boiler when you apply the heat. And it all turns, but the safety valve has come unsoldered from the boiler. And I was hoping that perhaps here I could find a source for somebody who might try and effect a repair to this wonderful piece of railroad history.
I think we know somebody that could do that solder repair for you.
Great.
The interesting thing about Beggs, it's an early American-made company that produced live steam locomotives from the 1880s up until about 1910.
Mm.
And I think your version is obviously maybe around 1890 or so, give or take, and based on what you just said. Well, that's very interesting. Does it have some cars that go with it?
Yes, and they have not survived as well. They, uh, the uh, The train ran on, I think, a 9-foot diameter fixed radius circle, mm-hmm. Wooden planks with vertical strips of lightweight vertical strips of metal inserted into these wooden planks.
Yep.
But and the cars are, so everything is set at this radius. The cars are, there are some metal pieces, wheels and frame, but the cars themselves are cardboard. And they have had water stains over the 100 years more of history. And but I do still have them and have toyed with the idea of scanning and reproducing because they're sort of the worst for wear.
Uh-huh.
Well, there are some possibilities that they can be recovered, believe it or not.
Wow.
There are some people that can do that kind of stuff. And
sure, paper conservators, yeah,
and I've had some of that done with a few things that I have.
So if you want to spend $19,000 to fix the cardboard cars, feel free.
It wouldn't be that much.
No,
okay.
No, right.
$18,500.
But it is what you have is a collector's item.
Cool, Peter. And, thanks a lot. Go ahead, John.
And if you're interested, bring it to the train show, and we'll advise you on it.
Now the thing is, what was the model? I mean, what was the make of that Beg?
The company is Beggs, BEGGS.
Now I've not heard of that one, and I've not heard of the
Carlon Finch.
Yeah,
but the Carlon Finch is electric. Beggs was always live steam.
Right? Now were some of these companies that I've never heard of? I mean, we've all heard of Lionel and everything else. Were they subsumed by the big companies as time went on?
Yes and no, because the company called Carlon Finch, for example, being the first regular electric train producer in the United States in 1895, they stopped making trains in 1915.
Aha. Uh-huh.
However, they are still in business today. They make electric, as they did even back then, they make electric spotlights and electrical equipment for the marine industry.
Wow. Okay.
And they're in Cincinnati, Ohio.
By the way, looks like Christiana wrote in, hey, can you guys tell us the hours of the train show Saturday? It doesn't seem to be on the website.
9 a.m. to 3. It does. That's interesting. I'm glad you brought that up. We'll take a look at that. But it's 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Okay. Rain or shine?
Rain or shine.
And the weather
or
looks
snow.
Good. Yeah.
Yep. Weather looks
Will there
good.
Be some, you know, at the Polish Community Center, can I get some...
You certainly can, right?
And food and such.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How'd you know what I was going to say?
I just knew.
I mean, do they have pierogies and whatnot?
Yes.
And do they?
To make you even happier, the bar opens at 10 o'clock.
You know what? Cut that out. Here's what we do, though. We get a model train, and when I order my pierogies, you put them on the top of the model train and then send
and
them along the tracks. Yeah, wouldn't that be surreal?
Actually, it's very cool, and I had an uncle or a cousin that did that in Huntington.
Oh, really? In Long Island. Yeah.
He worked for the New York Central, and when he retired, he bought this little diner. It was called the Choo Choo Diner. It was right on the corner, and it looked a lot like the one that used to pop up and show on Seinfeld. Right, looked like that style.
Yeah,
and it was exactly what he had. He had tracks that went around the back of the kitchen, around the end, and then up along the tables, and you'd place your order. And he had these long flat cars, and he would put the dishes on there and run the train over and
Amazing.
Park it.
Amazing.
Genius. It was great. It was great.
You guys know the joint up in Voorheesville that used to be up?
Smith's Tavern.
Yeah, and they had the beautiful train set that went around.
There's another place in Hageman, believe it or not, that they do the same thing. I can't remember the name.
You're
of
not
the place.
That young. It's fine. No one's going to.
You see it a lot in sports bars. We have one to the end zone, and you look ahead and you see the train going around. It comes from the bar to the kitchen and back into the dining room and back out.
So fun. Let's go to Gilderland. Yvette, you're on.
Yes. I was glad to pop into this show. My husband and I had some trains with our kids when they were young, and these are trains that my husband had when he was a child, and he's in his mid-70s or late-70s, and neither of our children wish to have them, but we want to make sure that they go to the right kind of people. They're from the early 50s or earlier than that, so I don't know how to try and contact or connect with people who might be interested.
Well, I guess the train show might be an option there, huh? The train show is an option. There's going to be a lot of people down there that will give you a free appraisal of it. We have experts on hand that can tell you exactly what this stuff is worth.
All right, so we're busy with wedding stuff this weekend.
All right, well, in general, how would a vet take the next step?
So there are a number of ways. I would imagine that if you wanted to, you could contact WAMC and they would
leave me out of this. No, no, it's on you.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
It's on
call Ray. He'll take your phone. Your call.
No, anytime. Yvette, don't do that.
So there are a number of ways. Actually, one way is that on the website there's contact information.
On which website?
You can go if you go to and you can actually contact the Polish Community Center as well.
Okay.
And they can give you that information. Well, but if you go to albanytrainshow.org, there's contact information.
And don't throw them out,
Yvette.
I'm
writing that down.
Yeah, even if your kids aren't interested, don't throw them out.
Yeah, by all means.
All right, thanks a lot for the call.
800-348-2551.
It's Jeff Stedge. It's Doug Bafaro and John Basile. And a couple of emails here. This one's from Bill. I don't know what this means. Track pan or trough? Have you ever seen one? How long were they? Any models? What is a track pan?
A track pan was used by the New York Central across their tracks. I mean, and it fits between the tracks, and there was a scoop on the tender of the locomotive, and the scoop would extend down between the tracks and pick up the water in the track pan, replenishing the water in the tender to make more steam. And that was used for a number of years. I don't really know how successful it was, but there's some fantastic movies I've seen of it.
Yeah. Mm.
They made movies of track pans.
Well, people, because
what network's that on?
It's not on a network. Okay. It was, old 8mm or 16mm.
Gotcha.
That showed water going everywhere.
Wow. You guys ever see the movie Horror Express?
Horror Express. I have not.
Christopher Lee, Peter Cushing.
Oh, right.
There's a satanic monster on the train, and it's I don't know whether it's somewhere in Siberia or wherever it is, but
that was filmed in Gilderland.
But there was so much snow on the track, I actually got scared. This thing's going to go off the tracks, even though it was a fictional movie. How did they keep those tracks clear in some of these faraway places?
Well, same as you would for your driveway. They were actually snowplows, and there are two different kinds of snowplows that they used for trains. They would have had sort of a wedge-shaped, shovel at the front of the train that would have basically pierced the snow and moved it to either side of the tracks. And then the other thing is that they used a rotary snowplow, very similar to a snowplow that you would use for your driveway.
All right, this email from Judith, then we'll take a break, and then we'll go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. The Albany Train Show happens Saturday at the Polish Community Center in Albany. Judith writes, I have my HO New York Central steam engine and coal car from childhood. It no longer produces the smoke. Can it be repaired? And do you think an HO train like this has any value since New York Central became Amtrak and Conrail? My father was an engineer, first with New York Central, then chose Conrail when the change occurred. And that's from Judith.
So that, and I'm pretty confident I know what brand that is. It was a brand called Bachmann that came out with this feature that was smoke on HO. Now, HO, when we're looking at these are O gauge. And so HO is literally half of O gauge. So it's a much smaller train. So imagine trying to fit a gizmo inside the engine that would produce smoke.
Yeah.
Imagine how successful that would be back in the 70s.
Would it have been successful?
No.
I see.
So what she's experiencing is probably what most people who have that particular engine would have experienced with it, is it would have worked for a very short period of time, and then it ran into problems. The smoke unit, I'm sure, got clogged up with whatever residue was in it. And is it possible to clean that? Yes. The easiest thing to do would be to buy one on eBay and find, and just part it together. Instead of trying to get it fixed would be prohibitively expensive. And I understand the sentimental value behind it, but, and yes, New York Central is desirable,
because it's what they call a fallen flag. It's a railroad that did exist but no longer exists. But, yeah, people always collect that stuff.
Number here is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. All right, the returning Zach the Engineer, who's always going to far-flung places. Why don't we play some music and play some underwriting? Hey, if you remember how to do it, 800-348-2551. Don't look at me that way. We'll be back. Jungle Strut here on Vox Pop. Doesn't have anything to do with trains, but what the heck? 800-348-2551. Doug Bafaro is here, John Basile, and Jeff Stedge. We talk about trains every so often. The Albany Train Show is Saturday at the Polish Community Center. And let's see, one more email and then jump to the phones. We shall once again. This is from Andrew. Somebody's on the air. Hang on a minute. You know, every now and then there is a gremlin here, and... let's see, am I doing it wrong? Okay, you'll just wait. And I don't know why these things go on the air by themselves. What is the best way to get rid of a 5x7 storage unit full of model trains, all O-gauge? Do you auction off the lot, or is it worth looking through for specific items? I know this is vague, but I do not know a whole lot about model trains. The collection goes back to the 40s through the present day. I have a lot of train track cars and engines and buildings that need to go. They were my father's, so I want them to go to a good place. Any suggestions for reputable ways to get a fair market price for this collection, which seems to be enormous?
Yeah, the first thing we want to do is, and that's something that we could do for you guys. We've done that in the past many, many times. The first thing you got to do is inventory it, and then based on the inventory, we figure out exactly what it is. You know, a lot of people have trains and they think, I'm going to Tahiti now.
Yeah.
And then they discover, maybe not Tahiti, but Hoboken. We can give you a fair idea of what the trains are worth.
You know, it seems like baseball cards. You have a huge box of baseball cards and you want to get rid of the lot, but there might be that one in there that is worth a lot of money and the rest are barely worth the paper that they're printed on.
Correct.
So,
that's what happens a lot of times.
Yeah, and I think in any collection, that is sort of a rule of thumb. Don't get rid of it until you know what it is.
Right.
Skip in Canajoharie, you're on.
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Sure,
absolutely.
Yeah, great. Awesome. So I've done some genealogical research on my family and found that my great-great-grandfather, who lived in Altamont, was a conductor on the D&H Railroad.
Cool.
And I think it's the line that went from Albany to Scranton that came through there. And I don't know what it means to have been a conductor back then. This was in the 1880s. And so I don't know what it means to have been a conductor, and I don't know whether that was a passenger line or a freight line or both. So what can you tell me about that?
Would a freight line have a conductor?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you can have a conductor. He's going to be in the caboose, especially in that time frame. You're going to have a caboose at the back of the line. So the engineer can use the conductor's lamp to determine whether he can go forward or not. As far as passenger, everybody has seen a conductor on a passenger line taking the tickets and just making sure in general everything is handled. But a conductor could be either freight or passenger at that time.
John, do you remember seeing anything in the 1880s?
You know what, Jeff Stedge? Really.
Thanks, buddy.
Stop.
But do you guys know whether that line was, what kind of line it was back then?
Well, it would have been both.
Or was it passenger or both?
It would have been both.
It would have been both?
But there's a book on the Delaware and Hudson Railroad that is well known.
Yep.
It's by a man by the name of Shaughnessy. And if you can get a copy of that and go through it, I think you'll learn a lot that may enlighten you as to what your great-great-grandfather was doing.
That is such a cool story, Skip.
Well,
do you have anything from him?
Jeff wanted a question for you. Skip, go ahead.
Do you have anything? I don't have any artifacts.
No, I have my grandfather's bugle from when he was an Eagle Scout. That's about as far back as I can.
Okay. Well, do me a favor. Don't play that on the show. And thank you for the call. Hey, better get rid of that one before he plays the bugle. 800-348-2551 is the number to Hyde Park. Peter, you're on.
Yeah, good afternoon, folks. My name is Peter. I'm the president of the Hudson Valley Railroad Society. And you guys were talking about running live steam. We call that dead rail model railroading. And we're actually running a clinic next month on dead rail model railroading. I wanted to see if you guys had experience with that.
We have run them. I mean, when you say running a clinic, what exactly are you guys going to be doing for the clinic?
We're going to do a presentation on running model railroading. It's called dead rail, meaning no power on the track. It's predominantly battery operated, but we've also got guys that have done live steam.
What gauges are you using?
Well, the most popular gauge for dead rail is the G gauge, the outdoor railroading. But I've got 20 years experience in doing it with O gauge.
And again, you're primarily doing it with battery stuff, battery operated stuff, right?
Yeah. So my personal collection is all battery operated, and there's not a lot of people that do it. That's why I said we're looking for more people that have experience and what their thoughts are on it.
Do you also include clock spring into that?
Yeah, that's also considered dead rail. Anything where you're not powering the track itself. I've seen clock work. I've seen live steam. And battery is the most popular.
Yeah.
Well, you know, some of us, like me, collect what's known as one-gauge clockwork train sets. And they run on one gauge, which is 1 3/4 inch, which is the same as the LGB track.
Z gauge or G gauge. Yeah.
Or G gauge.
Yep.
Okay.
So, yeah, it would be interesting to talk about the clinic. So, yeah, we could get in touch with you off the line.
You can always throw us an email here at voxpop@wamc.org, Peter, and I'll forward it over to the fellas.
Sure thing. And I also want to add that the society we accept donations. You guys have a lot of people talking about trains that they want to get rid of. We accept donations and we find good homes for them. So
that's a very
nice. Want to throw that pitch out there.
Okay, man. Well, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551. That's the number. It's trains today. Doug Bafaro, John Basile, Jeff Stedge join us. The Albany Train Show Saturday at the Polish Community Center in Albany. It's 9 to 3, I'm told. This is an interesting one, and then we'll go back to our phone lines. This is from David. Are there collectors for real train bits? I have a super cool headlamp from a steam locomotive in really good shape, has the original uranium reflective lens and bulb, and it works, made by the Golden Glow Company. Any thoughts?
Do you know what train it came from? And the people collect this kind of stuff, it's known as Railroadiana, and there's some collectors right in this area that would be probably glad to have. He says uranium. Well, that's just metal, that's all.
Well, except for the radioactivity.
Yeah,
it has a little radioactivity. It's not natural uranium out of the ground is not really highly radioactive.
I see.
It's what you do with it.
I see. Well, I remember seeing radium watches, the old glowing watches.
Oh.
They were pretty cool, too, until your hand falls off. Let's go to Dan in Schenectady. Dan, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have an old Lionel HO scale train that's probably 60 years old. I last had it out probably 25 years ago when my son was small, and now I have a younger great nephew who's interested in trains, and I was wondering if there was anything I should do to it, like when I take it out to run it for him, you know, maintenance wise or I mean, the last time I took it out, it ran fine. I just, you know, put it away and was wondering if there was something particular I should do to it.
Well, the most thing you want to do is make sure wheels are clean. I know one of the favorite cleaners you could use is Goo Gone because it's basically non-flammable. I used to use alcohol, but realized that the spark in wheels could ignite that.
You let it dry, man.
Well, we didn't do that.
Okay.
Anyway, so the Goo Gone, you want to basically clean up the wheels, make sure the track is on there is clean, because it is basically old science when it comes right down to it, because of the year it was made. So you'd want to make sure those are cleaned up and basically go from there. I mean, if it should improve the way it runs. And it's kind of cool that 60 years old that you still have a good running train.
Splendid. Dan.
What about like Brasso on the tracks?
No, same thing. Goo Gone. Stick with that.
Okay.
All right, Dan. Thanks a lot for the call. By the way, you guys mentioned when you were talking to Peter from Hyde Park about the G gauge, and he said they were mainly outside. How big are these? Really?
Do you see this?
They're referred to as garden railways.
That's G gauge.
So what's the distance between the wheels?
1 3/4 inches.
Wait a minute. That's tiny.
That's not tiny. I mean, it produces. This is 2 inches between the rails.
Okay.
And if you just take, this is not scale. None of this is scale.
Okay.
That's closer to being scale for what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's probably about the size of what you're looking for G-gauge. Mm-hmm. For obvious reasons, Ray, G-gauge is not a huge thing up in the great Northeast. But you get down into the Southwest where they don't have a lot of snow, and there are a lot of people who like G-gauge because they can run it year-round.
That's called garden railroading. And you can make beautiful gardens outside.
Oh, neato.
And have your trains running. And
cool.
I've done it back when I lived in Oklahoma.
Now, I have often fragmentary memories that might well be delusions. But are there, in fact, larger scale trains that go outside?
Oh, yes. Matter of fact, there's a club in the area that deals with a gauge that they're sitting on the locomotive. And they have miles of track, and it's laid out just like a proper Jeff and I have been there and Doug's actually took a ride on one of them. It was amazing. Well.
How fast do they go?
Fast enough that you have a little bit of worry, but not too fast that you're going to fall off of it.
Those ones at Hoffman's Playland in the old days, they weren't any sort of real... Do you remember those trains?
No, they were attached to a center...
They went around the whole thing.
Oh, I know what you're thinking about. Yeah. Well, yeah, it was like a miniature roller coaster type.
Those were probably amusement park trains.
Yeah, it was amusement park.
But this was on tracks. It went around the whole place.
Yes.
And they could be gasoline engine. They could have been battery driven. Yeah. Different ways.
I want one of those in my house. You know?
I don't know about in the house.
No, at the house. Well, preferably at my neighbor's house. But that, you know what? Let's go to Freya in Kingston. You're on.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, it's good. It's fun to hear these stories. You know, I'm an old lady, and I've been around for a long time. And before the war, my mother and I would get on the train to go visit my grandparents in Rock Island, Illinois, on the Mississippi River. And it was a Rock Island line. Yeah. And we used to sing the song of Rock Island is the line to ride.
It's a mighty fine line.
It was wonderful going there as a kid.
Cool.
And, of course, they had people who would help you onto the train, you know, and we'd go and we'd sit and we'd have lunch sometimes going. And they stopped it. And my father said, well, of course, the war was on and that kind of thing. But he said, you know, that the Ford Motor Company and all of the cars after the war, you know, they were building roads and doing all of that. And they were doing away with trains for transportation because money was to be made.
Yes.
And he was really very, very upset that the train systems really stopped in the United States for passengers, except for, you know, when you were upstate and you'd go from one town to another, but they weren't the same kind of travel. And he just felt that we had really lost a way of traveling and living in this country in a more community sense.
I agree with your was it your father?
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. Yep. Fellas, what do you think?
Well, you know, it at the time in the 50s, there was an opportunity.
No, this wasn't in the 50s. This was way before that.
It was after the war, but certainly there was, you know, during peacetime, after the war, there was an opportunity to enhance the infrastructure for railroads, but there was a conscious choice made to build the highways, you know, the
the Eisenhower deal.
It was a political choice.
Yep.
It really was politics, and it really was Ford Motor was really behind it, and he's a hideous man in many, many ways.
Okay.
I mean, you know, but
okay then.
Well, he was. He was a racist.
Yeah.
He was a terrible man in many ways.
Alas, that's a different show, Freya, but I got to tell you, a great call.
Yeah,
thank you so much for listening, and we really appreciate it. Quickly to Del Mar. Larry, you're on.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I just thought I'd put in a quick plug for a one-to-one scale train ride.
Cool.
Kingston is the site of the Catskill Mountain Railroad, and next month they'll be running the Easter Bunny Express.
I got to go to that one of these. Every time I see something, one of these promotions, I say, I got to. We were there once at where the station is, and it's calling me, and I have not made it yet. But I'm not that big of a fan of the Easter Bunny. No offense.
Yeah, they do a nice job down there, though. I know you guys well. I know Peter, and I know that they have gotten rid of the Polar Express for certain reasons.
Very quickly, Larry, is there a website people can find out more about the Catskill Mountain Railroad?
Yep, Catskill Mountain Railroad. .com, one word. They'll have the Easter Bunny on the train. They'll have an Easter egg hunt. They figure each train ride is about a 90-minute experience. And for history people, the train is pulled by a classic Alco locomotive from Schenectady on the old New York Central Catskill Division.
I got to get there. Larry, thanks a lot. All right, now we only have about a minute here. Tell us about the train show that's happening Saturday, fellas, and then we'll wrap it up here.
The train show is a-coming. It's a-coming,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right around the bend?
It's right around
right
the bend.
Around
I
the
hear
bend.
The train a-coming.
Right.
It's 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., Polish Community Center, 225 Washington Avenue Extension, not too far away from Cross Gates. You're going to have over 100 vendor tables of model trains and train-related items.
And you said people can bring their old stuff and it can
bring your old stuff, free appraisals.
Okay, that's cool.
Yep. If you have an attic treasure, if you have a basement treasure, bring it on down. We're going to have face painting and balloon animals for the young engineers, and we'll also have our own train doctor on hand to fix your ailing engines.
Now, in the old days, did a lot of the engineers have painted faces?
Yes, sir.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Doug, you want to add anything?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
The old engineers.
That's my kind of guess.
How do I follow that? You know,
I don't
the
know.
Old engineers had coal dust all over their
there
face.
Yeah,
that's
man.
What they had.
Well, listen, you guys are Kinks fans at all? Anybody? No?
Yes.
The Kinks? So they have a great song on their best album ever, which is The Kinks Are the Village Green Preservation Society, which I think is 66, maybe 68. The last of the steam-powered train. It's a song. Jeff Stedge, if you're a Kinks fan, you got to check it out.
I'm going to check that out, Ray.
All right, fellas. Hey, good luck. The Albany train show is Saturday at the Polish Community Center. One more time, the website.
Website is albanytrainshow.org. And again, the show's going to be 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Okay.
We'll see you there.
Have a good time, and thanks, fellas, for being here. Support comes from Autobahn Service, Route 7, Sheffield, Massachusetts, providing service, repair, and diagnosis of modern European imports, specializing in Volkswagen, Audi, Mercedes, Land Rover, Porsche, and BMW, AutobahnTechnic.com. And Belvedere Home Care, Albany, professionals working to provide caring and personalized home health care throughout the capital region, BelvedereHomeCare.com for info. Yeah, so when you talk and the mic's on, people are going to hear you. So just stand by just a second. Thanks again to the loquacious Jeff Stedge, Doug Bafaro, and John Bastille for being here today. Thank you for listening. And thanks to Captain Stubing, our engineer. Well done, sir. I'm glad you're back from the sea. Thanks to Andrea Leong. Got the G at the end that time. She answered the phones. Thank you. Tomorrow, it's the Science Forum. We'll see you at 2 p.m.